Hankins. I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind the scenes, what we hope is everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. Today we have a guest, Juan Esquerra, a fan, and somebody that is also on Twitch. And so we want to say hi to Juan.
Hey, guys.
Okay. Somebody can't hear you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Juan.
Yeah, well, I'm here in LA, just like you guys are. Fellow Twitch streamer, fellow content creator, just like yourselves. Although you guys seem to be doing a lot more content than me. I'm a video game streamer, Instagrammer, and all-around fun guy.
Good, because that was a qualification. It's not all around fun.
Very nice.
So we met actually, which is hard to believe. I don't look like the guy that we go to a gym, but we met at a gym in Santa Monica, the TriFit.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, close to where I work or used. I'm not going to be going back into the office, but I used to work there down in Santa Monica. We met, and eventually we exchanged names, and then I said, hey, do you read comic books?
you even gave me a business card.
Yes. Yeah.
Check it out, and gave me a business card, and here I am these days, right?
So let's talk about Power Squared.
Yes, sir.
And I know you've bought all the issues and bought the T-shirts.
Got this right there, right? I got the exclusive little baseball card hidden away in a drawer back there in an envelope. So keeping that safe, you never know. And once it explodes, man, I'm gonna be the guy that's been there.
Yeah, we had those made up for the signing we were supposed to have at Golden Apple.
That's right.
Day after the world shut down.
Exactly. I remember you were coming into the gym and you kept on mentioning it, and I got excited and I made plans to go, and then, you know, hey. But I'm glad that you gave me the card, man. I thought that was super cool. Wow. This is one of the best things, you know, I've gotten from Power Squared.
Well, we're super cool. What can I say?
Yeah, I know. You're telling me. So, do I need to pull out my prizes from my prize winnings?
You're the award winner from our contest we had. Yeah.
You guys posted the picture on Instagram today, and I was like, oh, wow, that was me months ago. Look how small I used to be. I'm a little chubbier these days.
We've all gained weight. Thanks to the
pandemic. Yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Keep telling that to yourself. I'm not happy, but that's the way it is. How many issues have you read?
I read this this whole Bible you gave me right here. I thought I had it right here, but I have issue number one. So it's funny because I actually reread this whole thing today, too. And I was telling my girlfriend that she needs to, get it. She's not here at home right now. She went on a trip. So I keep telling her, when you get back, you got to check out this thing. And by the way, I'm going to be on Twitch with these guys. So it's going to be pretty awesome.
So, you know, we've had issues since issue 5.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're going to be picking those up any day.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. I have to now.
Yes, we're going to browbeat you into it. We're getting ready to put out issue number 10, which starts a new story arc. And you got that through the Kickstarter?
Exactly, yes. So I remember you walked in the door one day, started telling me about the Kickstarter, and I was very excited to get one of these books. You even showed me the secret book.
Yeah, that's right.
Before it was ever released. So you got me real hyped up for it, man.
Showed you the prototype, I think.
Like, when can I get that, man? Can I have that one? And here's the cool thing too, and I really appreciate this. When I got this, I asked you to have everybody sign it. So, it's right there. Yeah. I can't see if it's showing, but everybody signed it there. Yeah. So I was like, all right. Dave signed it in the parking lot before he came in. Great.
We actually all sat around and signed it.
Yeah. No, it was really cool to have that in there. I was really excited to get it. And I really wanted everybody to, you know, sign it. Because like I said, when you guys explode, you know, I'm going to have that as backup so I can show everybody.
Yeah, I was there first.
I was there first. Check out the video on YouTube.
Proof positive.
Yeah, exactly. I got something.
So actually, our current artist didn't start until issue 6. Yeah. So you haven't seen the new stuff.
No, I haven't seen the new stuff. You're right. I got to get going on that stuff. Yes. I've been keeping up with the emails, the videos, and the, you know, the podcast and everything, but I need some new material soon.
Yes. It's out there.
Yeah.
And so we're also going to be kind of revamping the website. I'll mention that too.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
We're trying to go with a little more San Ramiro College theme.
And so nice.
We're
going to
have
yes.
be more... You know, you're enrolling in a school kind of thing.
Nice. It's going to be like a little more interactive with the folks that stop in. That's nice. That's cool.
Let's hope so. Yeah. we get pretty good traffic on the website. I'm always surprised it's like, you know, a couple hundred people a month, but.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't translate into sales or anything.
So I hope that by being on brand, it'll encourage more, engagement.
We're going to have a.
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
Campus store, things like that.
That'll be cool, man. I'm pretty excited to see what the new website's going to look like.
Yeah. So let's talk about, so you, you're on Twitch and you game on Twitch?
That's right, yeah. So my channel is mainly a video game streaming website or channel. It's kind of weird to call a channel, you know? I feel like it's just... It's just a page with a bit with me on it.
Right. your page. We have a channel. You have a page.
Yeah. I have a page that plays live video of me sometimes.
All right. And you play hours and hours?
Hours and hours. My average amount of stream time is maybe 3 to 5 hours. I try to stream as early as possible in the day so that I can continue all the way late into the night. Mm-hmm. And the longest is about 9.5, almost 10 hours was the longest stream. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. And your girlfriend's cool with that?
She jumps on the stream with me sometimes. Sometimes she plays the games with me and she's featured on it. And a lot of folks that come into the stream actually have come to the stream because she is interactive with... their stream outside of mine, so I get discovered a lot just by her interactions with other people.
So she's into it too.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah,
she loves it. It's pretty fun, man. It's a good way, especially to connect with other people, especially in you know the way that we're living, you know, in our shelters these days. So it's a great way to connect with people, make new friends and things.
Okay.
Definitely.
So is she gonna get her own stream page?
She doesn't want to. Everyone's trying to get her to stream because, you know, once people discover like your personality and how cool you are, they want to participate because that's just how, you know, Twitch people are. They all want to, you know, be with you and hang out with you and stuff. But she doesn't want to stream. She just wants to jump in on a couple of games with me, interact with the people that are on my channel, interact, you know, the way she's doing it now. It's not for everybody, you know, but it's for some of us.
And so how many times a week do you stream?
It's pretty dependent. I try to stream as much as possible. For example, I think the last time that I streamed was probably Sunday. I've been dealing with a lot of things outside of, you know, in real life things that have been pretty important.
Right.
So I haven't been able to stream. So I actually get messages from people asking me when my next stream is going to be. And then I'm like, well, you guys should come, you know, and check out this stream instead. Because that's happening, you know?
So what games do you stream?
A lot of first-person shooters. So Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. There's Call of Duty Warzone, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. The latest one I was streaming was the new Call of Duty Cold War beta, which just came out. Full release in November. So... Everybody's pretty excited about it, so it's kind of like the little community that I'm kind of, you know, flowing around in. FPS guys.
So are you playing with other people while you're streaming, or are you?
In terms of you know how the game is set up, yes. So a lot of it's online based, so I'd have to be like you know playing against and with other people. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, one of the fans might ask to stream with me, mm-hmm. You know, jump in on the game. It's fun to do that sometimes, but a lot of the fans that I have right now are kind of new, and I don't really know what their personalities are outside of my chat. So, you know, you got to be a little bit careful. You don't know who you're playing with, so you just kind of got to watch out for it. But there are times when I do play with other folks, for mm-hmm. sure.
Now, were you a big gamer before the pandemic?
Oh, yeah, man. Huge. I remember my first game console was an Atari that my uncle gave me back in, you know, the...
A long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago. I was really bummed out because my mom, after I moved out from college, for college, she gave it away. She gave away the Atari. It was it's in perfect working condition, right?
Yeah.
It's got all the games and everything, so many games. And one day I came home and I said, "Hey, Mom, where's the Atari?" And she's like, "Oh, I gave it away. I didn't know you wanted to keep it." So
thanks for asking. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. So I immediately took the Super Nintendo out of the closet. I took the original Xbox straight out of the closet. So yeah, I've been gaming for a long time, but you know, I just kind of got more into the streaming aspect of and sharing the gameplay. Even before quarantine, I actually started the streaming thing a few months before quarantine. It's just kind of upped it now.
You never mentioned
I never really talked about it because I was just jumping on, you know, just playing video games and just doing my thing like I would if I was alone by myself in the house. And one day it just kind of started clicking, so I started focusing more on that. So it's been pretty nice. Pretty nice ride. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions for
him? Ask away, guys.
Is there a favorite game that you've streamed?
Oh yeah, that Call of Duty Cold War beta that I played was really, really amazing. Like, it was just a beta, and there was definitely a lot of kinks in the game still that needs to be fixed by the time launch happens. But I cannot really tell. That's going to be one of my most favorite games so far. Mm-hmm. Definitely. All
right.
Do you play anything besides first-person shooters?
Not too much. I'm one of those guys that gets a little sweaty in video games, gets a little bit competitive, even though I shouldn't be, because I'm not really all that great.
Yeah.
but, you know, and I'm kind of new to that aspect of the gaming market, too, the multiplayer battle royale thing. I'm new. Yeah. I play a lot of campaigns and story modes and stuff like that. So anything with a good story, anything with a good campaign, I'm all about it. I'm all about it for sure.
I watched you stream a little bit, and you were always trying to collect, you know, money or whatever it was.
Yeah, exactly. That's all part of the game, man. Yeah. Get a little competitive.
Yeah. That's why you play a game, is not to be competitive, unless it's solitaire.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's fun. It's all part of the fun, definitely.
So do you have any questions for us about Power Squared?
I actually do. I spent some time last night and this morning trying to, you know, really come up with some questions that I thought, you know, would really be something that I would like to learn about, and maybe some other folks. Okay. So you guys want to start with some serious questions? You guys want to start with something a little bit more light? You tell me.
Whatever. I think we can answer most questions.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you my favorite question that I came up with.
Okay.
All right. So you guys are superhero guys, right? You guys have your superheroes and your special powers, and you guys obviously know a lot about the comic book world. What I always wondered, being that I'm not a part of the comic book world, is why superheroes always wear their briefs outside of their tights. Do you guys know why?
No, and we don't actually have them changing the little outfits either, so they don't have that issue. And I don't think it's supposed to be their underwear outside of their tights. I remember when I was a long time ago in seventh grade, and I went to dancing school, and we had mm-hmm. Halloween, and a guy came as Superman, and he dyed his underwear red,
yeah.
So we could wear on the outside. We're like very brave, but really weird.
Oh my gosh!
So yeah, I don't think that's supposed to be their underwear. It's just supposed to be.
I think the technical answer is it's an effort at color balance,
right?
So it looks good while you're looking at it,
right?
But otherwise, I don't know.
I mean, the whole idea of a cape, we're just gonna get caught in stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, let me move on to some more serious questions. I thought that would be kind of fun to ask you guys coming from your perspective. But I do want to know, how do you guys go about developing your plots and your characters and things like that? Reading through my little Bible there, I noticed that there was a lot of some really good progression into backstory and things like that. So I was curious to know how you guys start thinking of those kind of things.
Well, we kind of, when we sat down and talked about doing this, we had sort of different story ideas that came up. And then I guess some of it is just kind of grows organically from, you know, one issue to the next, kind of one story arc. And so I don't really know if there's a magical thing we do to come up with stuff.
So it's more like a free flow process then, right? You guys just go from one idea to the other, whatever sounds good, looks good, and then it just goes in there. It's nice. It's good to hear. Very organic.
Yeah,
I like it.
I mean, because we wanted to have, kind of this Verbis compound thing come up in different ways, and mm-hmm. then we're branching a little bit more out into the yokai.
Yeah.
Getting them more involved, which are the magical creatures, of which Mocha is one of them.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to ask that question too. How did you come up with the Mocha character? The one striking thing that kind of caught my attention when I first read it was that there were multiple tails on the fox. So I kind of knew you guys were going into the magical realm there. Yeah. Was that like something that you guys had already thought about, or did that organically pop up too? That character there.
I think it was, and you can speak to this too, was part of the sort of the initial idea of how they got their powers. They were more into manga and anime and Japanese mm-hmm. mythology, and they wanted mm-hmm. to bring that in a little bit into the story. So the idea was they would get it from a magical creature that, I guess, it could transform into a human form.
Yeah.
And so that... And I think Kusune was the logical choice of that.
Yeah.
And Kusune is a magical fox, and she mm-hmm. they have multiple tails.
Yeah.
So, and I think there's, they could have 9?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tails, and they can live to be hundreds of years old and all that. So
learning new things. Yeah. I didn't know anything about that. And I also like the way you guys wrote it out, too. I felt as surprised as Eli and Marty were with the appearance of the talking fox. Yeah. I was sitting there, I was just going through a page, doing my thing, reading along, and then I said, "What a talking fox?" And I thought to myself, "This is kind of great." I mean, I feel the shock value that they must have felt. You know, and they were going through the process. So I thought that was really clever. I thought that was really clever on your guys' part. I thought that was cool.
We also tried to, in the first issue, drop a lot of characters that we could come back to. Mm-hmm. And I believe with the 5 issues that you've read, that we brought back mm-hmm. one of the guys in the audience when Instructor Miller first hears Dr. Atlas. One of the guys behind her was Dr. Brubaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that in there.
And the other guy behind her is also in the next issue, next story arcs after that. And then we're actually uh-huh. now going back to Billy O'Shea, who is the kid in the video that Dr. Atlas is showing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We're finally going back and pulling him through.
All right,
16,
so I see you guys pulling me into more series here, more comics. Yeah. I see it. I like it.
we were just trying to, plant some ideas that we could come back to, and if you were, hey, I saw that in the first issue,
Yeah. So. I mean, that's kind of how it was with the second appearance of I'm sorry, I forgot what the doctor's name is, the second villain fella that shows up in the audience. Yeah, that's right. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. There's this little window here, and it shows him being in the story there. Oh, okay, okay, it's connecting. I like it. Looks good. There's a lot more to this than I thought. Not as straightforward as I was thinking. Very creative.
I'm trying to plan a few things.
Very creative. Just,
I think that was just, you know, hey, if you're reading along, you go, hey, I saw this guy, issue number one.
Yeah. And since we're talking about plots and characters and stuff, I wanted to also ask you guys, you know, in your opinion, what's more important when you're coming up with ideas or when you guys are writing out the stories and stuff? Is it more important to have like a really like mind-blowing plot, or are you guys thinking more of like how well or how strong can we make the characters in the story?
Well, I think we try to have a balance of being well written but also showing off the
characters.
Yeah, showing off the characters. I'm writing I was currently working on a script of my own for the comic. Mm-hmm. And in that case it was more about exploring a concept of specific yokai and how Marty and Eli would deal with it. And so that's more of a one-off thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in other story arcs, like the one we're currently working on with our artists, we try to have it well plotted.
Yeah, and we're actually, I think as we're doing this more, we're learning more about, you know, like we're cutting down on how talky it is and...
Yeah.
Some of that was just, you know, me dialogue. Just tell stuff, and we're sort of having it a little more, more visual, less talk, I guess.
Yeah. Some of those pages look like I was reading a novel there, Dave.
Yeah. But it's a learning process for us.
Yeah.
You know, I think.
So I guess for a story like this, it's good to have a really good story, but then occasionally you want to like cut loose and explore some other concept with these characters.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool, man. Like, dude, it's so nice to be able to sit here with you guys and, you know, find out these questions that I was kind of, you know, wondering about. I mean, I spent some time last night. I really did. Okay. And even waking up into this morning, I was really trying to figure out, you know, what the questions they're nagging at me, you know, what are the things that I really want to know?
Yeah.
And then you brought it up too, Dave. You guys said that you guys were, you know, it's been a growing process and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, how have things changed? Whether it be like how you guys come up with stories and stuff like that, or come up with new characters and plots. How have things changed from the start of when you started to create your content to now? Like, what has the growth been like?
I think actually, in some ways, it's more of a collaborative effort. I mean, we with the current artists that we have, gives a lot of feedback, and she will, like, you know, move a panel or combine stuff together, and of course show it to us and stuff. But I think as we've been going through this, I feel we were hoping that it would be more collaborative with the original artists that we had, but it was less so.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the same as we have now. And I think it's just sort of feeling more comfortable with the format or the medium, whatever you want to call it. You know, that we could say more, and then sometimes the stories have been more visual than I think they've gotten a little more visual.
Yeah,
we've tried to punctuate things as in issue 10 when you get to that one. We have, you know, there's a big event kind of a deal, so we're trying to be a little more spectacular. You know,
well, I'm glad for it, man. I'm really glad for it. I'm pretty excited to, you know, delve more into the series and the new story arcs and stuff like that. I really do like how the whole comic is presented. The artwork for me feels like really original.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you open up like a comic book, you expect it to look a certain way. And when I open up this one, it looks really unique. You know, I really enjoy that. I really do.
In a good way, as opposed to.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it's to me, it's refreshing. You know, because I grew up looking at like Batman comics and, you know, DC and stuff like that, and Marvel and things like that. So I have an expectation of what to, you know, see in a comic. When I open yours up, it's refreshing to see a totally different style of drawing and storytelling. So it's really nice, man. I really do enjoy it.
I know that we were trying for a certain visual, sort of a Western anime blend.
Yeah.
And I think we got that more so with the current artist that we have. I
mean, yeah.
Some of the artwork in the first five issues is a little, you know, is that really twins and, you know, and stuff like that? I mean, you're always, you know, you have certain expectations even now, and mm-hmm. sometimes you have to sort of, you know, kind of decide, okay, this is as good as that's going to get, and move on. Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, we're doing a lot less of with Rachel, more so what we did with our first guy.
Well, that's cool.
So it's a better process, I think, now. And it moves much faster. Our limitation is 8 pages a month, and it's mostly because I have to pay for it. And so that's about as much as I can afford. Mm-hmm. And so they're both, you know, everybody seems to be kind of churning through 8 pages a month. So instead of with the first guy, towards the end, it was like one page, and then a couple mm-hmm. months later, another page. And, you know, we just finish this, we can go. So, but she actually, on the cover of the book you have is is our current artist.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, it looks really cool, man. I dig the colors. It's one of my favorite colors there. I don't know if you want to call that pink, but to me, that's pretty pink. And, you know, as you can tell, I love pink. I love that side of the spectrum there.
It's the manly.
Yeah, exactly. It's my favorite color, Dave. What can I say?
Okay. That's okay.
One question that has been, that I always ask myself too, being that we're content creators, we're all, you know, we're not big shots, obviously. We're going to get there. But I ask myself this all the time. So I was curious to know, from you guys, in your experience, with, the comic book industry and Power Squared and everything, you know, how hard do you think it is to, break into, you know, the comic book industry or any industry in general?
Actually, I'd like to think we'd broken into it, but, just like we're on the outside looking in. Well, you have any thoughts?
Well, breaking into the comic book industry, I want to say is a little harder than people expect it to be. Mm-hmm. When you get to if you're trying to do what we're doing, which is eventually make it like self-sustaining, then it takes a good combination of hard work and luck.
Yeah,
and the luck part being like meeting the right people who will support mm-hmm. your work.
Yeah, there are a lot of independent comic books out there, like tons, mm-hmm. and even on the, you know, the websites that we're on. I mean, it's easy on Comixology to get lost, you know, because there's like 10,000 things that come out at a time. It seems,
mm-hmm.
like.
Yeah,
and they only push the major, you know, Marvel and DC and those people, Image. So we're sort of hoping that, you know, we'll get noticed and trying to put out good work and hopefully doing things like this to try to get, you know, some attention. And hopefully it can become self-sustaining is the goal.
Yeah, I think you guys are doing a great job. I mean, you know, nobody at the larger comic books are calling me to have a little debut on the show. So, yeah, for me, you know,
this
for
is
me,
your
it's
big break.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like for me, it feels extremely special to you know, get a message from Power Squared because I'm going to jump on their show.
Yeah,
this is the first time I've been called in for a show in probably years and years and years. So I think this is really cool. I think you guys are doing a great job, man. I really do.
We picked the right guests.
Yeah, I'm hyping you guys up, man. It's a party over here.
Yeah, Yeah, it's at least you show. We had a guest one time that didn't show.
No!
He showed later, like a couple weeks later.
I just had to figure out how to do my mic and like my video camera for Discord, but yeah. I would have just called you guys on the phone if I couldn't figure that one out.
Anyway, so any other questions you have for us?
Oh, one last thing. You know, since we were also talking about like quarantine stuff, have you guys, in terms of your work and the progress that you're making on the comic book, has the shutdown or anything, just being staying at home and stuff like that, has it affected your work on the comics or anything?
Not really, I don't think. I mean, we're.
Well, not negatively.
Yeah, not negatively. Yeah. yeah. I don't have the 2-hour commute, which is nice.
Yeah.
Which is one reason I don't want to go back into the office.
Who wants to go to work, man?
Well, no, I work in here. Trust me.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
8 hours a day. If anybody's watching,
lucky you, man.
Yeah. But, well, yeah, it is lucky. I totally understand that that's, you know, a lucky break.
Yeah,
that I can do that, you know, but it's still, you know, I don't have this time off kind of thing, which is, you know, good and bad, because I always hear about people, you know, they're baking bread. Really? When do they have time to do that?
You know? You gonna be a baker at any point?
I don't think so. We did decide to, as you've probably noticed on the website, have them wear masks on, and we're actually going to have that as one of the alternative covers for issue number 10 is them wearing masks.
Cool. Yeah, COVID. Changing with the times, man. Changing with the times.
I kind of figured that we're all going to, most of us will survive this, and then you'll look back, and that was, it's sort of an event we'll all have gone through, kind of like, you know, the, I guess you could say the Spanish flu and the Great Depression and World War II and all the, you know, we all, it's a common thing we've all had, and you want to have some sort of keepsake from it in a way. Or not, you know, no one wants to remember this fondly, but you do want to have something from this period of your we're all going through this together.
Yeah, my dad actually told me something very similar when quarantine first started. He was telling me the story about, like, how my grandfather was a child during the Spanish flu and all the things that they had to go through. So yeah, I get it. I totally understand. It's a good perspective to have. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I started streaming a lot more and focusing on that, because I was just at home. You know, I had no excuse to, you know, not start something different and new and explore and stuff. So,
yeah, we've been doing some sort of show for over like a year now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've sort of in some ways kind of cut back. We used to do a podcast on Friday and then a video on Sunday, and we were just like, this is too much for have it be
a lot of work.
Yeah, and the newsletter, you know, that takes time. It, you know, that doesn't take that much time, but it's still something we're trying to do every week. Trying to do posts on Instagram and Twitter and Tumblr and all that. We hit 500 Tumblr posts. That was kind of a little bit of a record for us.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't used Tumblr in so long.
Yeah.
Gosh, that was around for me. I think I created a Tumblr page. Gosh, I think it must have been in a first year of college, maybe. So it's been a while for me to jump on Tumblr, but I'm active on IG.
Yeah, we only got on Tumblr because Comixology, one of their guys, put something on Tumblr about us. So okay, we should at least go there. And then
that's cool.
It feeds, you know, Instagram feeds into Tumblr, so it's sort of we're not actually doing separate posts anymore on Tumblr. It just sort of feeds into it.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
I like the idea, again, that it just, you can do something one place and it feeds all these other places. Kind of like the podcast. If you're watching, you can actually listen to it on several different outlets, which you can find through our website.
Yeah. I remember my first podcast email. Well, here's the fun part. Like, because you and I used to see each other all the time.
Yes.
You would always come in and you go, hey, you gotta check out the new podcast. You gotta check out the stuff on the website, and you gotta see this and you gotta see that. So not only did I get the email reminder, I got like the personal reminder as well. I told you I feel special, man.
Because then I go, and so did you watch it? Yeah.
Like, yes, I did.
Yeah. We'll see.
I answered the poll.
yeah, we're probably getting really close to stopping doing the poll question because no one's answering them. So
That's how I won that all my prizes from you that one time. I was listening to the podcast. I knew the answer. I saw the email. So yeah. Calendar's up on the wall right behind me, man.
All right. Well. And it's going to run out pretty soon.
Yeah, it's running out. I need another one. When are you guys doing another giveaway for a calendar?
Yeah. It was Hellboy, right? This has been a pretty good calendar.
It was
a pretty good calendar for this year, actually.
Yeah, I have the Hellboy calendar, right? I got the Hellboy poster. Mm-hmm. And then I have the Pop Toy. The Pop Toy is sitting in the kitchen on top of the cabinet.
Right.
Watching over all my food.
Hellboy's a good theme for this year, actually.
Yeah.
As it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait for next year. Hopefully it'll be better.
Exactly, man. It will be. It will be. Definitely a lot better.
All right. Well, I think we're going to probably end it here.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Appreciate you being on the show.
Definitely, man. I really appreciate you guys for calling me in. I feel like the little basketball, you know, sub that never gets called into a game and gets 5 minutes on the championship game, you know?
Yeah, but you get a ring at the end. So if you want to tell people again, if they're just tuning in, where can they find you?
You know, I'm on Twitch, Iron Fortitude Gaming, just like the hat says there. Same way as it is on Instagram as well. Exactly. Okay.
If you're watching this on YouTube and you liked hearing this, please subscribe, leave a like, and ring that notification bell if you want to see exactly when more like these go up.
All right. So until next week, I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared. Thanks, Juan.